Please be seated. Linda Nicholson will come and share our scripture.
This is Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The Word of God.
So we just heard Matthew's account of Jesus' birth. The account we know best, the one we'll hear on Christmas Eve, is the one from Luke. Luke tells Mary's side of the story, but Matthew tells us about Joseph. And this first chapter of Matthew is the only place we ever really hear anything about what Joseph thought, what Joseph felt, what Joseph chose to do. We've been watching the series The Crown lately, and it struck me this morning that Joseph reminds me a bit of Prince Philip to Queen Elizabeth. Always the sidekick. The queen is the important one. That's sort of the way Joseph often gets treated in the Christmas telling. But Matthew focuses on Joseph. So Joseph and Mary were engaged. And in that day, and I think in parts of the Middle East still today, engagement was a solemn public commitment, not just between a man and a woman, but between two families, everyone agreeing together on the marriage. Joseph and Mary were engaged, committed to each other, planning and preparing and saving for a wedding. And then, in Matthew's words, before they had lived together, she was found to be with child. She said she had done nothing wrong. She said this pregnancy was by the Holy Spirit. We can only imagine her family's reaction and Joseph's reaction. What must Joseph have thought and felt? Betrayed, hurt, angry. This was the woman he'd chosen, the woman he wanted for his wife, but now she was pregnant somehow, presumably, according to everyone except Mary, by some other man. According to the law, he had the right to publicly condemn her, to even call for her to be stoned to death for adultery. That would have been justified. He was caught in a dilemma with no good way out. Expose her publicly, break up with her privately, either way, he lost her. But those were the only two options that he had under the law. So the text tells us that Joseph, being a righteous man, or as the song the choir just sang, being a kind man, was unwilling to expose her to public disgrace and planned to dismiss her quietly. He would be left with his hurt and his anger from Mary's betrayal, but at least he wouldn't make things worse. Having made his plan, resolved what he must do with his difficult dilemma, Joseph finally slept. But in his sleep, the angel came to him. In his dream, God was able to speak to him, to break through all the notions of what could and could not be. The angel came to offer him the impossible possibility that he couldn't even imagine while he was awake. Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for this child is from the Holy Spirit. She will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, meaning God saves, for he will save his people from their sins. Can you imagine Joseph's thoughts and feelings as he woke up? It was a dream. Could he trust it? Was it really from God? Mary had apparently had the angel Gabriel appear right in front of her in broad daylight. And Mary had the physical experience of the baby growing in her womb. Joseph just had a dream. But, the story tells us, Joseph chose to believe his dream. He chose to be faithful to this mysterious message that came to him in the night. Matthew tells us that Joseph woke up and did what the angel had commanded. He took Mary as his wife. And when she bore a son, he named him Jesus, God saves. Perhaps Joseph realized that this choice was the one his heart had wanted all along. After all, he had wanted Mary for his wife. But this was so much more than what he'd ever bargained for. This required courage, conviction, and faith. Standing up to his own family, and even those in Mary's family who would judge and condemn him, taking on the embarrassment of a wife pregnant too soon. This righteous man, Joseph, was called to what one commentator has described as a kind of righteousness that might appear scandalous. Joseph's dream pushed him beyond the clear rules of the law, which had no good options for his dilemma, into the uncharted territory of living by faith and love. There were other possibilities, God's possibilities, the possibility of believing Mary's story, of trusting her word, of daring to think God's angel might have spoken to her and somehow God's spirit had made her pregnant. Joseph was called to embrace her pregnancy is somehow an act of God's Spirit, which means, commentator Mark Davis says, Joseph was called to follow God by not following the law. To follow God by not following the law. To follow God into uncharted territory of faith and love. Last night, my husband Bill, who's preaching on this same text at a little church out in Searsburg, was doing his own preparation, and he found a story a few of you may have heard, a story from World War II about someone who dared to follow God by not following the law. It comes from 1944, Christmas Eve, the Battle of the Bulge. A German mother and her 12-year-old son in a cabin in the woods in the Ardennes forest. Husband trapped back in the town of Aachen where they came from, couldn't reach them. But she and her son were safe, more or less, even though there was fighting going on all around them. But on Christmas Eve, three lost, hungry, one badly wounded American soldiers showed up at their door, asking for help. She had to make a choice. The law was she could be jailed, perhaps even killed, for helping an enemy soldier. But these three men were clearly desperate, so she chose to let them come in. She told her son Fritz, "Go kill the rooster. Let's cook up some potatoes that we were going to have if your dad came. Let's feed these men, they're hungry. A little while later, another knock at the door. She opened the door, and there were four German soldiers. Now she had a dilemma. What would she do? She stepped outside and said to them, "I will let you in." They were also lost and hungry, cold. She said, "I will let you in, but you need to know there are three men in there that you will not think are your friends." The corporal said, "Are they American?" She said, "Yes." He stood there a moment and said, "This is a holy night. There will be no shooting tonight." So the four German soldiers came in, and Americans on one side, Germans on the other. They studied each other a while. But the smell of good food and the warmth of the cabin warmed them up a bit. After a little while, the Germans pulled out some bread and some wine, and the Americans produced some chocolate. And they began to talk to each other. One of the Germans had been a medical student, spoke some English, knew a little bit. So he checked out the wounded American and said, "Well, the cold's kept you from getting an infection." He gave him, treated him a bit, bandaged him up. They sat down to eat. The mother prayed, "Herr Jesu, Lord Jesus, come eat with us." And her son said, "I remember there were tears in her eyes, and I looked at the soldiers, German and American, and I realized they were crying too, as we all ate together." The next morning, they went their separate ways, but not before one of the Germans gave to the Americans a compass and a map and directions about how to get back to the American lines. Later, that German family immigrated to the United States, and for many years, the son at times would think, "I would love to find some of those soldiers and see what happened," and he tried. Finally, in the 1990s, this TV show Unsolved Mysteries was out, and he contacted them, and so they broadcast the story, and through that, he learned that an elderly man in a nursing home in Maryland had been telling the same story for many years. So Fritz went and met one of the American soldiers his mother had saved. Fritz said, "My mother always used to say, God was at the table with us that night." To follow God by not following the law, to risk love, to risk forgiveness rather than judgment, to risk friendship and welcome rather than walls. How often and how many ways are we being called to do that ourselves? There are people right now making these kind of choices, churches offering sanctuary, people providing water and food in the desert of the Southwest, climate activists protesting, getting arrested. To follow God rather than following the law. Be called to live a life of faith, to risk love, to risk believing the possibilities of our dreams and not just the cold realities of what is around us. Joseph became a dreamer. Like that first Joseph in Genesis, Joseph learned to hear God's messages through dreams. In fact, he had three more dreams here in Matthew's gospel. A dream warning him to flee with his family into Egypt to escape Herod. And dreams telling him when it was safe to come back and that he should settle in Galilee and not in Judea. Joseph's dreams led him to follow the risky path. The path of taking Mary as his wife, of adopting Jesus as his son. Because of his dreams, Joseph named Jesus as his own. Jesus Bar Joseph. That was his name, not Jesus Christ. That's a title. His name would have been Jesus Bar Joseph, Jesus son of Joseph. And in Matthew's telling, it's interesting because Joseph's family tree, his claim to be a son of David, is what makes Jesus a son of David, one fit to be a Messiah. And Matthew goes on to claim Isaiah's prophecy as the purpose of this baby. Look, a virgin, a young woman, shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Joseph knew God was with him because of his dreams. In spite of the challenges, in spite of the dangers, Joseph learned to follow his dreams on the risky, dangerous paths of love. Writer and artist Jan Richardson urges us in this Advent Christmas time to open ourselves to our own dreams and to God's dreams that may be stirring in us, whether we're asleep or awake. Dreaming becomes a place where God can slip in, can enter our consciousness, she says. Dreams, whether daydreams or night dreams, become the space where borders open, where the fluidity between heaven and earth becomes apparent. To talk about dreaming, she says, is a way of talking about how we listen for God, who is continually trying to break through to us, the God who desires communion with us. Dreams are a way that God seeks to convey God's love for us. And they are pathways along which we are being called to live that love in our lives. Advent and Christmas draw us into a dreaming landscape that invites us to imagine the ways that God is reaching out to us and the roads by which love might become known to us. We begin this Advent on a very snowy, cold morning, with a passage calling us to be awake, stay alert, watch. And yet it seems to me here at the end of Advent, as we move toward Christmas, maybe Joseph's story is an invitation to also let ourselves rest, to let go, maybe even to sleep, to let go and trust God's work in the world and in our hearts. And in our dreaming, who knows what messengers God wants to send us this Christmas, what impossible possibilities God is offering if we let our imaginations go free and our visions expand. God's love is all around us, holding us, keeping us. We can trust that love, live into that love. Over and again, the angels of God say, "Don't be afraid. I am with you." The ways of love can be risky, even dangerous, but we are never, ever alone. God is with us, and that is enough. And so a blessing on our dreaming. What I know is that this blessing could hardly happen anywhere but here, where you have finally taken a breath at last and have let your eyes close with the weight of the weariness and have given in to rest. I cannot say what this blessing knows. I'm not the angel who will come bearing that strange word to you, but I can say, look, let yourself sleep. Let yourself dream at last. I know about keeping vigil, keeping company, keeping watch, for there's nothing to do but wait. I know about keeping still while a blessing makes its way. So hush now. Dream now. This is how the blessing comes. There is blessing coming for each of us this week, this Christmas, let us open our hearts and receive.